I'd like to share some scripture with you from 1 John chapter 4, if you would like to read with me. I'd like to ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And I want to stop reading there with verse 13. I would like to ask your prayers this evening. I'd like to talk to you for a little while from the Word of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit about true love. And there's one more verse that I want to read that I want to mainly base my thoughts on this evening. In the chapter preceding this, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, I want to read a portion of that verse. Behold. And I think when we see that word in the scripture so often, when something starts with behold, we're going to talk about something that is worthy of great exclamation. Behold. Something to be very excited about and very stirred about. Very moved and touched by. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. And I want you to think about that with me as we think about the great subject of love. When we are thinking about love, whether we're thinking about filial love, love that exists perhaps more on the human level, the love that we have for each other, the love that a parent may have for their children, the love that a husband may have for his wife or a wife for her husband, the love that children may have for their parents, or the love that may exist between siblings in a family. Or if we're talking about the agape love of God, God's unconditional love towards you and I, I believe that whatever degree or level of love that we are talking about, it's all to be attributed to God. I'm certain that without God, we wouldn't know or understand love on any level, because there wouldn't be any love without God, because John said that he is love. God is love. God is the source of all and of any type of love. I'm thankful tonight that I have been blessed in my lifetime to experience love. I have experienced love in many different ways. I have children that God blessed me with, and I believe that they love me as their father, that they love me. They have shown me that and proven that to me. And I can tell you tonight that I certainly do love them. I have known the love of a good wife. She has shown me a lot of love over the past 30 years. And I can tell you as well tonight that I certainly have a great love in my heart for her. When I was growing up, I knew the love of parents. My parents loved me. They proved that to me over and over and over that they loved me. So many things that they did that I was able to witness and watch and know that they had a great love for me. And likewise, I can tell you that I certainly had a great love for them. There are many people that it seems they go through the world and don't experience a whole lot of the filial type of love, the human type of love. We know in our own experiences and things that we have witnessed, things that we have heard about on the news, things that we have read in the newspaper, we know that there are a lot of children, it seems, in the world today that just don't seem to get the proper parental love that they ought to have. And that's really, to me, that breaks my heart. That's very sad to me. I don't know how anybody can not love their children. I don't understand that. I don't understand, and I've said this many times, I don't understand how people can take little human beings, little human babies, and abuse them and then dispose of them like they're nothing. I don't understand that. I just don't get it. But we know that there are a lot of people in the world today in many different ways that don't receive the love that they ought to have. And that is sad indeed. But I want to say this, that there will never be one human being that ever has been born or ever will be born into this world, there will never be one that will pass through time that could truthfully be able to say that they had never been shown love in any way. There's nobody that will be able to truly say that. Because the Bible teaches me that God loves everybody. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm sure that most all of you are aware of this and have heard this, that there has been a belief around for many years that God has foreordained and predestinated certain ones to be saved, and they're the ones that will be saved, and those that he has not elected in past eternity will not be saved. And I don't believe a word of that. I believe God made a whosoever will come to him plan of salvation. And he manifested his love towards everybody when he came into this world. When Jesus came into this world, he manifested his love towards every human being.
Love is something that's better proven than it is spoken. It really is. If, you know, it's a wonderful thing, and I believe that I have said this here before. It's a wonderful thing, I believe in this very strongly, within families. It's a wonderful thing for people to tell each other, I love you. That's a wonderful thing for people to say to each other. A man and his wife ought to say that every day to each other, I love you. We ought to say that to our children. Children ought to say that to our parents. We shouldn't be ashamed to tell our friends. I mean, if we have someone that we truly count as a friend, we should not be ashamed to tell that person that we love them. We should never be ashamed of love. But I'll tell you what, if you don't love somebody, you won't prove it to them by telling them that you do. Actions speak louder than our words. And I believe that people like to hear that. We like to hear those words. It comforts us. But if somebody really loves you, I mean, has a genuine love for you, you're going to know that that person loves you without them ever speaking the words and telling you that they love you. You're going to be able to know it by the kindness that they show and the actions that they show towards you. You're going to be able to know those things. In verse 9, where I read from 1 John chapter 4, John wrote and said, In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Manifested, when you make something manifest, you make it apparent, you make it clear, you make it known. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God made his love known unto us by doing that, by sending his Son. Jesus made his love known unto the human race by being willing to come, being willing to do the things that God sent him here to do, being willing to suffer the things that he suffered, being willing to go to the old rugged cross and there to be crucified, to shed his life's blood so that we could be saved. The Bible said, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." I'll tell you what, love manifests itself in actions. Love manifests itself in deeds. Somebody loves you, you're going to know that that person loves you, because they're going to do things that will prove to you that they love you. Love is not selfish. The Apostle Paul wrote about it to the church at Corinth, and he said, one of the great attributes of true love is that it does not seek after its own. Love seeks after the welfare of others rather than itself. There have been parents that have made great sacrifice, that have given up things that they could have used and that they needed themselves, in order that they might have the resources to be able to give to their children. That has happened many times. There have been people that have made great sacrifices because it was motivated by love. There have been people that have gone And we still have people on foreign soil today. There have been people that have gone and have given their lives for the freedom that we have enjoyed. There have been people that have gone and have paid that ultimate sacrifice and given their lives because they had a great love for the country that we live in today. They had a great love for the people that dwell in this great nation. They had a great love that we might be able to know and to continue to know this freedom. And because of that love, they made the sacrifice. Love. I'm telling you, friends, love is powerful. I don't know if it's true or not. I never really bothered, I guess, to research it and find out for sure. But I was once told that among all natural forces, that there's nothing that's stronger than the force of water. Water can just seem to find its way through things that perhaps the wind and other things can't. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I've been told that water is, the force of water is the strongest natural force that's ever been known. But I'll tell you what I do know is absolutely true, that among all mystical forces and spiritual forces, there's never been one as strong as love. Love can conquer anything and everything. It's stronger than hatred, isn't it? It's stronger than fear. The Bible tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. Love is stronger than fear. It's stronger than hatred if we allow it to rule and reign in our lives. I'll tell you what, you know, I love to read the epistles of John because of the plainness of his speech. I don't have any problem understanding the things he wrote. And I love his boldness. You don't have to wonder about what he was saying. And to those of us as God's children, John was very plain about it. You say you love God and you don't love your brother, you better be checking things out. You got a big problem. You've got a huge spiritual problem on your hands if you say you love God and you hate your brother. In fact, John went to the point that he said that whoever says that is a liar. They're lying. They're deceiving their own selves in that. The Lord told us as his children to love one another. The Apostle Peter wrote and said that we ought to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Jesus showed his disciples a great love while he was with them here in the world. And before he left them, he gave them what he called a new commandment. And that new commandment was that they were to love each other the way that he had loved them. And he loved them completely. Having loved his own in the world, he loved them even unto the end. But of all the things that have been done, of all the charitable acts of kindness that have ever been done, of all the sacrifice that people have ever made because of love, love never manifested itself any greater than it did about 2,000 years ago when a man named Jesus one day went to Golgotha. We weren't worthy of him dying for us in any way, were we? We were not worthy of the Lord suffering the things that he suffered. We were not worthy of him giving up his life for us to be saved, you know, Jesus made it very plain that, you know, when Pilate, when he was there in the judgment hall of Pilate, and Pilate thought that he had power over him, Jesus made it very plain to him that he didn't. Pilate said, you know, you talk to me this way. Don't you know I've got the power to release you and I've got the power to crucify you? And Jesus told Pilate, he said, you couldn't have any power at all over me unless it were given you from above. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus talking about his life, he says, no man has the power to take it from me. I give it. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Listen, the Roman soldiers didn't have the power to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ unless it would have been given unto them. I'll tell you what, there was only one force. There was only one power strong enough to compel the Lord Jesus to go to the cross, and that was love. It's the only thing that had the power to compel him to make the sacrifice that he made. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I said earlier on that I'm thankful that I've had the privilege of loving and being loved. I'm thankful for everybody in my life, whether they've been a friend, whether they've been a brother or sister in the Lord, whether they've been a natural brother or sister, you know, my parents, my children, my wife, whoever that it is, I'm thankful to God for every bit of love that anybody has ever shown to me. But there was a day in my life, the age of 18, when I experienced the greatest love that anybody could ever possibly know. If you're here tonight and you're lost, it's my great desire, it's my heart's desire that you would come to know the love of a loving God. The Bible teaches me in the 5th chapter of Romans, and I believe verse 4, that when we get saved, when God speaks peace to our soul, that he takes his love, the agape love of God, that he takes that great unconditional love of God, and he doesn't, you know, the Bible doesn't say that he just gives us a little bitty taste of it. It says that he takes his love and he sheds it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What did John say here? Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. God shed his love abroad in my heart in the summer of 1973. And what manner of love that it truly is. You know, Shirley and I, we've been blessed in our life. God has been good to us. He gave us 3 children. And you know, when they were born into the world, the very first look that I had, I just fell in love with them. The very moment I first saw him, I had a great love for those little children. And I thought about how that we take our children, if you love them anyway, you take them into your care and under your wing, and you try the best you can to take care of them. You make mistakes. We're human. We make mistakes, but a parent that really loves their child, they take them and they try
No matter what it costs, they try to do the best they can to take care of those children.
And one of the things that my wife and I used to do, and many of you are going to be able to relate to this, we would take our little children, and one of the ways that we would take care of them was we would put them in the bathtub. We would set them in a tub of water, and we would take some soap, and we would wash their little bodies, and we wanted them to be clean. And we would wash their hair, and we would, try to keep them clean and keep them dressed and take care of them. And when I thought about that in studying this, I thought about the way that God cleansed his children. In the first chapter of Revelation, in verse 5, John the Revelator there was talking about Jesus, and he said, unto him that loved us. And did he only love us? No, he also washed us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm telling you, folks, listen, just like we would take those little children and wash them naturally, Jesus, when he saved our soul, he washed us and he cleansed us spiritually. He washed the stain of sin away from us. He used his blood in order to do it. It's the only cleansing agent that's powerful enough to wash away the stain of sin. And Jesus washed us from our sins in his own blood. And you know what? He made us clean and pure. And sin hasn't stained us anymore. I know in our flesh, I know in our Adamic nature, we still sin. But God cleansed that inner man by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. God gave me a love in my heart. And I want you to know here tonight that I feel that love toward you, toward my brothers and my sisters in the Lord, toward those that are lost, to see them saved and come to know the same thing that I have come to know in the Lord, to know his great salvation the way that I have been blessed to know it. But friends, listen, when the Lord saved me, when he shed his love abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you one of the great things about what manner of love that it really is he gave me the ability through that to be able to love in a way that I had not been able to love before. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And after the Lord had saved me, there was a newfound love in my soul that I didn't have before. I didn't have it before. God put it there when he saved me by his grace. And I would to God tonight that everybody would know the love of Christ. I know something tonight that none of you can do. I can't do it. You can't do it. None of us can do it. There's not one of us that can fully explain or fully understand the love of Christ. It's beyond our reach. It's beyond our comprehension. The Apostle Paul said it's something that passes knowledge. So we don't really know the extent, really, of his love towards us. But thank God that he's given us enough through his Spirit
that we're able to know that He loves us, that we're able to know that He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. People can try all they want, but you're never going to convince me that people can't be saved and know that they're saved. Because I know. And I'm convinced that there are many of you here tonight that know, just like I know, that you know. You know the love of God. You know that you felt it. You know that you've experienced it. You know that it dwells in your heart. And we are able through the Lord. I mean, that was a tall order that He gave to us when He gave us the commandment to love each other the way that He loved us. That's a tall order. But we're able through the fact that the Lord placed His love in our heart. That gave us the ability to be able to love one another with a pure heart fervently, because we have known and we understand enough of His love to be able to do that. And so, if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to know that you will never experience anything greater than the love of God. If you miss it, listen, if you go through this life and you miss it, if you live your time here on this earth and you never come to know the love of God in Jesus Christ, what a terrible loss you're really going to suffer. What a terrible, or what a great thing that you're going to miss out on if you never come to know the love of God, if you never come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. You're going to miss the greatest manifestation of love that anybody could ever know. I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like to ask everyone, if you would, to stand and sing. I want to give the opportunity to anyone that's here tonight that's lost and undone. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. God's Word teaches us that. His Spirit assures us of that when we're saved. Love is why, those of us that have been saved, love is why you and I are free. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come to God. Come to the Lord. Seek Him. Seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek Him until you know that He has shed His love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost.
Number 108. 108. On the cross of Calvary, our blessed Savior died, gave His life to save the world from loss. In His pain and agony, for every sin to hide, shed the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas His blood, His precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas His love that paid the awful cost. Oh, soul so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. cross, the rugged cross, they nailed his precious hands. And in death he fully paid the cost. There is pardon in his love for everyone that stands, for the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost.
Oh, sorry. I thought
so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. What an awful death he died to pardon you and me. All alone in agony he tossed. And a world once lost in sin can now be wholly free by the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross.
I would like to thank you for your attention this evening. I'd like to apologize again to those of you who were affected by it for the mix-up on the time of the service. Apologize for that. And our services the rest of the week will be at 7 o'clock, but next Sunday evening our service will be at 6. So anybody have a word on your heart tonight? Bless you, Sister Becky. Let's remember her grandchildren in our prayers.
The Pharisees once asked Jesus, they said, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "Well,
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these hang all the law and the prophets. What fulfilled the law? Love. Love is the fulfilling of all the law. Thank God for his love. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Edwin. Let's remember these. Remember this request. Anyone else? Amen. Bless you, Brother Jeff. We're thankful to have you with us. Amen. Bless you, Sister Matlock. Sister Matlock asks prayer all the time for her lost grandchildren. Let's remember them in our prayers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Man. No higher calling than that, to be a servant of the Lord. I'm thankful tonight to be a child of God.
Amen. Brother Wheat. Well,
yeah. Amen. Man.
Amen.
Not just a set time. I pray that we'll be revived to the extent that we can't rest until we see these lost people saved.
Amen.
Thank God again for you. I thank God for my home, my good companion, who I'm loved dearly. We have a good life here. Not much longer. Beyond what talked about in the Bible.
Amen. All right, let's do that. Let's come around, have a handshake with each other while we sing. While he's getting the song ready, I'll say this. Brother Doss mentioned telling his experience a lot. I've been blessed every time I heard it. And I told him a while back that when the tornadoes hit over there in Macon County, there was a group of us one day that went over there to try to see what we could do to help those folks over there. And when we were driving around there in Macon County, we were wondering where his fence row was at. I mean, that we were thinking about that, and so I bet you could. I might let you do that.
Ronnie. It's 351 in this book. 351.
Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Enough for me.